the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We read our scripture again today from Hebrews chapter 6. We've been dealing with the first principles of the oracles of God. Listeners, those of you who have been listening to us, who have been following, we trust that you have been blessed. And those of you who are joining us for the first time, we trust that you will be blessed as well as you join us. It's been a teaching we've been on for some months. We believe these are very, very important foundational issues, and that's why we're spending enough time there. Trust the Lord to grant us understanding and then lay a solid foundation for us so we can move on to perfection and maturity in Christ. We believe that these very, very important issues. We trust that the Lord will bless us again today as we look at the Word of God together, trusting the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So I want to read Hebrews chapter 6 and then verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance unto dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. I just want you to see here that first one we read said, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of God, let us go on to perfection. We believe that the church of Jesus Christ that started in the book of Acts is to move on to perfection. It starts as an infant and is to become a fully grown man, to move into perfection. And that's the essence of what we are teaching. And that's why we believe that the church that started as an infant church, when we see that church in Revelation chapter 12, we see that that church has become a man-child church. And I like to read that portion for us in the book of Revelation chapter 12. And it says here, and there appear a great wonder in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and this cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour a child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. As we can see in this verse 5, it says, and she brought forth a man child. It's not a single man, but it's talking metaphorically. It's talking about the people. It's talking about the church. I know there are many interpretations for Revelation chapter 12, and we won't have time to go into all different understanding today, but I just want to pick out the fact that in this scripture we can see that this man-child, here you can see, was to rule. It's something ahead. Some people believe this was happened when Jesus was born. Some believe it's the nation of Israel that gave birth to Moses. That would be the past. Some also believe that when Jesus was born, that the nation of Israel was the woman and gave birth to Christ. That would also be the past. But what we have in verse 5 here, see, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and a child was caught up unto God and to his throne. We believe that this is still ahead, and because this agree with what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, we just want to read from verse 26. And he that overcoming and keeping my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. So we see here that this promise in Revelation chapter 2, for he that overcometh, for an overcoming church, is the same thing that is being said. It means that this man child, they are the last day overcomers, those who will come forth and be the overcomers in this last day. So we see that what we've read in Revelation chapter 12 verse 5 agrees with what we have read in Revelation chapter 2 verse 6 and 7. So we see it's not something that is the past, it's something that is in the future. It's a picture of the church that is mature. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, in Ephesians, that is coming for a glorious church, a church without spot, without wrinkle. We believe, according to Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, that heaven will retain the Lord Jesus Christ until restoration of all things. So we believe that the church that Jesus is coming for is a church that will have entered into perfection. Perfection in the sense that it will become a man-child church. It will not be a weak church. It will not be a powerless church. It will be a church of the overcomers. Jesus said in the scripture, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. So showing that the Lord is looking forward to a church that will rise and become the church of overcomers. I believe also this is what we see in Revelation 3:21. We're just trying to explain the issue of perfection. It's not a human perfection, but it's a perfection that we are seeing now that means those who overcome, those who will become the man child. I'm going to read again from Revelation 3 and verse 21. It says, to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And then we see when we read Revelation chapter 12, verse, it said the man child was caught up to the throne. So sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. So we see here that when we are dealing with in Hebrews chapter 6 and talking about perfection, it's saying that the proper foundation must be laid so that we can come forth in this way that God has destined, that the church must come forth as the man-child church, the church that is being brought to the throne or caught up to the throne. It's important we link this because that's what we've been teaching, even in dealing with the issue of resurrection. I'm explaining this as we go again today into the issue of resurrection, so we can have a good picture of what the word of God is showing to us, that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for a church. Yet the church started in the book of Acts, but the church has gone through so many, many things. But we have this faith that the promises in the word of God is that the last day church will be a church that is powerful, that is full of glory. It's going to be an overcoming church. It's going to be a glorious church without spots, without wrinkles. That's the church that Jesus Christ is coming for. But if we don't have a proper foundation, we can never attain to this. And that's why we must lay proper foundation in understanding in the issues that are raised in this Hebrews chapter 6. There are seven of them. We've been looking at them and we're still dealing with resurrection. And having said this, I want to go and read a scripture in Acts chapter 1. Since Jesus himself is our pattern, and we want to go and see, he that overcometh like I overcame. That's what Jesus said. And I want to go and read Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Please, let's read together. It says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So we see that after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ was taken back to heaven in his bodily form. This happened, everyone saw him, and he went to heaven. And he says, this same Jesus will come back this same way. Now, what is the implication of this for all of us? The implication is that we need to see that Jesus is the pattern for all of us, that it was after resurrection that he was taken to heaven. And that's when he was caught up to the throne. That's when he went back to the throne that the Father had prepared for him. It's after resurrection. And from the scripture we have read, we have seen that the man child was caught up into heaven. Now, I want to explain that as we move on. But the point I want to make is this. Because in dealing with this matter of resurrection, we know there are questions that people are asking, the issue of rapture, because there's this belief, is a belief that's very deep and popular, that there's a secret rapture that will happen, and Christians will be taken by a secret rapture and to a place in the cloud. But as we search the scripture, we can truly not see that. There's going to be a secret rapture, and Christians will be taken, and there's a secret rapture. I want to read scriptures for us patiently today, and for us to understand and to follow. Listener, we'll be bringing this issue before us because they are important. We share with you last week the fact that the giving of the mark It's a spiritual thing. We showed that from the book of Ezekiel. We showed that from Revelation, that the giving of mark is a spiritual thing on the side of God. If it's a spiritual thing, if the giving of mark, being marked on our foreheads, is something that is done through the Spirit of God, through ministering the word by the Spirit of God, we also believe that taking the mark of the Antichrist is going to be a spiritual thing first and foremost. Like we have said, eventually there may be something physical, electronic chips and so on that will be given, but we believe it's spiritual. And then, so we've made that point. But we want to make also this point that we need to join in God and become overcomers. Jesus Christ coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. I also want to deal with the fact that this is important for us to understand, and we can then understand that what we've been taught, that without overcoming, without crucifying the flesh, we've spoken to you on this, that Jesus is coming according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. And I want to read that scripture again, 1 Corinthians 15, 23, which says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." And we show to you that Christ is coming for those that are Christ. And we have shown that those that are Christ are those who crucified the flesh and the lust thereof. So we are saying that it is not true to teach believers that after they are born again, without walking with God, without dealing with their flesh, without crucifying the flesh, without walking the Spirit, they should just wait for a rapture that will take them out of this world without confronting the Antichrist. That is not true. It cannot be truly rooted in the Scriptures. And there's no point loading a particular few verses or one verse with something that cannot be readily seen in other Scriptures. And please, I want you to carefully follow us as we look at the Scriptures for yourself and search if these things are so. So we're saying, for us to be part of the first resurrection, as we have been showing to you, it is for those who are overcomers. It is those who are crucifying the flesh. The first resurrection is for them. And if therefore the first resurrection is for the overcomers and for those who will move on to perfection, how come a secret rapture? And so what I can see in looking at the scripture is that scripture talks about the resurrection money. That is that resurrection money we are asked to look forward to. That's our great hope, that this Christ is coming. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for the glorious church. And the way he went back to heaven after overcoming, he's coming that way. That is those who have experienced this resurrection that will be taken up to be with the Lord in the air. And the scripture said that so shall they ever be with the Lord. I want to read some scriptures today. And I want you to follow this scripture as we read them, as we bring them your way, and that's to appropriate them. First, let's go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You will see that what the scripture is saying there is the issue of resurrection. It's the issue of resurrection and nothing more and nothing else. So let me read from verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We there means those who are not dead, who are alive in Christ. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." That shows verse 53 saying the corruptible means those who are dead and they are already in their graves. You see here, they shall put on incorruption, and those who are mortal, who have not yet dead, who are alive in Christ, they shall put on immortality. Have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So we see here what the scripture teaches is the resurrection money. That in that day of resurrection morning, when the Lord will come and appear, and then you will see all the scripture. He said, when he comes, he shall be seen. It's not going to be a secret. I'm going to read such scriptures for you. But we see here, the Lord is basically talking about the resurrection money. Those who are dead shall be raised, and those who of us who are alive shall put on immortality. That's the resurrection money. I don't see anywhere that the scripture talks about secret rapture here. Having read that, I also wanted to see that in this 1 Corinthians 15, all that the scripture is talking about is the issue of resurrection. Let's go back to that same 1 Corinthians 15. It says from verse 12, "But now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen, and I've shown you that in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We have also shown you this scripture that Christ died, rose, and then they were, according to Matthew 27 verse 53, the saints of those testament who were raised that day, and they came out of their graves. Okay, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, that means Christ and the Old Testament saint who rose with him. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. That is the one we are waiting for, Christ at his coming. But these are Christ, and we have shown to you what that means. Then verse 26, then come at the end, and he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That is now talking. This verse 24 is talking about what will happen in the millennia when he will have put down every enemy and the last enemy would have been dealt with. All we can see in the scripture is that the scripture is talking about resurrection. You also see that the scripture we normally read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is just the same thing with what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so let us go to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 13. And it says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we see now, those who are dead in Jesus will be raised, and the Lord will come with them, will bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Okay? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we shall alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with this word. So it's clear again. That is the same thing we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that has been read here, that the dead in Christ shall rise for us, and those of us who are alive shall be changed and be caught up with the Lord in the air. It's after resurrection that we are caught up. Jesus was caught up after resurrection. This is what the scripture is saying. So that's why we can't understand where rapture comes in this way. Rapture that has nothing to do with resurrection. And I've asked people who present this side that it's either they are putting rapture after resurrection, which would be impossible, or they are putting it the other way, which would be impossible. But you can see from the scripture we have read that the scripture is talking basically about resurrection money. Okay? There's nothing that suggests here that we are going to have to experience one secret rapture. Jesus, from the word of God, from is expecting his church to be a glorious church, a church of power. And if the church is going to be a man-child church, it's going to be a church of strength and power, why should the Lord take us out of this place to escape from Antichrist? Then God will not be a man of war. And then what has God done? If the Lord is afraid to allow his people face the Antichrist, then he's not sure what he has produced. It means the church has not produced overcomers. That is the truth of the word of God. That's why we should rather labor to become overcomers, so that when the Antichrist comes, he will not meet us in the place of weakness, but in the place of strength. And that's why the scripture says, I haven't said this, I want us to go and read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because that's also another scripture that people will use to justify these things. I want to read from verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Which day? The day of resurrection will not come. The day of the Lord will not come until what? Until falling away. We have seen that falling away. So the apostasy of the truth, apostasy of the church. But then within this, it goes on to say, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, for that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we see again here, this son of perdition, this wicked person, the Lord is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. So this shows that is when the Lord comes, and which day is he coming? He's coming on the resurrection morning. He's coming to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and sign and lying wonders, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth, that they might be saved. Okay? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they may believe a lie. So what we see again here, of course, I know there are many teachings and understanding and theories that the one who is hindering, that is not allowing, some people say it's the Holy Spirit, some people say it's this and that. But my understanding is this, from the scripture we have seen, that if the Lord is coming for a glorious church, a church of power, a church of the overcomers, the church of the man-child, which is talking about strength and power, to me, that suggests that church that is a hindrance to the Antichrist to fully manifest and do all his wickedness. But at the day of resurrection, this church, this overcoming church, this man's church is taken out of the way so that Antichrist can fully manifest all the wickedness and evil. And this is the teaching of the scriptures. And because we have to understand the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity is that when Satan sins, a door is open for a man to follow Satan, to recreate himself and come forth in the image of and likeness of Satan. And the mystery of godliness is that since Jesus came, the door has been opened for man to follow God and to recreate himself in the image and the likeness of God. These two mysteries, we must understand them. Okay? And these two mysteries must come forth in their fullness. And the Lord will not come until these two mysteries have made their full expression here on earth. Listen, we are just saying that it is important. The whole essence is that we must begin to know what is the counsel of God and to walk in it and to prepare ourselves for these things that are ahead of us. This is why we are bringing the word of God. Before we go, I just want to read for us Matthew 24. Even if it's just to read it, I just want to read for us Matthew 24. And I want to show you here how again the hope that is set before us. Matthew 24, and I want to read from verse 21. Matthew 24, and I read from verse 21, and it says this, "For there shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be." Okay? This tribulation, that's what it says. "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, in so much that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before," verse 26, "whereof if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So this shows that it's not going to be anything secret. The resurrection morning is not going to be anything secret. And that's our hope. "For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be eagles to gather together." Again, in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." This is the scripture again. What is this scripture showing? That Christ is coming and it's going to be clear. And he said immediately after the great tribulation. Christ is not saying before great tribulation. He said after the great tribulation, then he will come. And then that's when he comes. That's the resurrection morning to gather his own people and to take them away. And so we believe that what the scripture shows is this. When the Antichrist is made manifest, the church will be here. There's going to be people who have, the church is going to be at least divided into two by this time. There'll be those who have overcome and those who have not yet overcome. But we see here that Christ is coming for those who are his, who have crucified the faith, the overcomers. That's what we see in the scripture. And then we see, he says, every eye shall see him when he's coming. He said, immediately after the great tribulation. This is so plain enough. There should be no controversy about this. So, listener, we trust that. Again, we hope that we've been able to bring the word of God before you for you to consider and you to meditate and for you to pray. Because it's necessary for us to understand so that we can press in. Like Paul would say, I press in towards the mark of high calling in Christ Jesus. So we can press in so that we don't sit down having been sedated by false hope. The Bible says when we say peace, peace, when there's no peace to my people, when we make Christians to sit down believing that they will be raptured when they are not walking, when they are not persevering, when they are not overcoming, is to deceive them. It's to say peace, peace, when there's no peace. But it is important that we prepare God's people to know that there's an overcoming, there's walking to get into all that God has for us. God, our Lord, is coming for a glorious church. A church that is going to be a weak church. A church that is going to stand in strength and power in this last day. We believe that is what we are to prepare for. This is the hope for every one of us that are pressing into secret. Not that we have attained, like Paul would say, but we press on. We press on. The issue is that we press on. Not that anyone is perfect or has arrived, but we press on towards this high calling of God. I pray that this will be your portion. I pray that the Lord will bless you. I ask you to please take time and look at this scripture we brought today and meditate and see them and see the light that the Lord will show to you. We have not brought it to you so that you can tow our doctrine, but to see the word of God and to see the whole counsel of God. I pray the Lord will bless us. Father, I pray that those who are here today, by your Holy Spirit, you will minister to them. You will bring understanding, Lord, because the understanding that comes to you is one that sets us free, is one that will change and transform us. And I ask that this will be the portion of those who have listened today. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish.